It is an honor to be with you. I've missed being with you for a while. I've moved away from Anaheim and live in Irvine and have been worshiping at St. Mark Presbyterian Church and part of the life of that congregation. But this is my home, and it feels very good to be here with you, especially on this Sunday, the Sunday after Easter. So let us hear the word of God from the Gospel of John, from chapter 20, and what the disciples were up to on the eve of that first Easter. Listen for the word of God for you. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. And then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails, and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." And Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. The word of the Lord. So last Sunday, Easter Sunday, was a joyous time here. I've spent many Easters here. I know there are beautiful flowers and fabulous music. Great time of celebration, proclaiming that Christ is risen. And I know that many of you have enjoyed traditions of gathering with family and Easter egg hunts and a good excuse for eating chocolate and all the fun that comes with Easter, along with the very powerful celebration that happens here in this sanctuary and in sanctuaries around the world, proclaiming Christ is risen. It was a special time of celebration of good news that we celebrate every Sunday. In that assurance of pardon that we just shared together, we share it every day, that Jesus died for us and was raised for us and welcomes each of us and loves each of us and calls us and sends us, just like those disciples, to go out and love one another, even when it's not easy, even when we're too tired. That is our call. In John's Gospel, earlier in that chapter on Easter morning, Mary Magdalene had gone to the tomb. It's a story that you know well, and she comes to find that stone has been rolled away, as our choir prelude sang this morning, and there is no body. And she is frightened someone has taken it. And so she runs to tell the disciples that the body isn't there and that someone has taken it. She doesn't know who. Peter and the other disciples run, trying to outrun each other, getting to the tomb, and there they find what Mary has told them is true. The body isn't there. And they return home, and Mary remains at the tomb, sobbing, distraught, beside herself. And there she has this amazing encounter with Jesus, who tells her that he is about to ascend to God, his Father, and to go and tell the disciples. And so she goes and she tells them and she announces that she has seen the Lord. And this is where our text picks up the story, showing the disciples not in a particularly celebratory mood, having heard Mary's proclamation. They are fearfully locked in a room. Yet neither their fear and neither that locked door keep Jesus from appearing among them, offering them peace, offering them God's presence among them. It may be that Jesus' word to them, "Peace be with you," are another way of saying what the angels said and Jesus also said to Mary in Matthew's Easter account, "Do not be afraid." Without explanation, Jesus is there among them. They hadn't heard a knock on the door. He just appeared, speaking directly to their fear with "Peace be with you." And not once, but twice, Jesus gives this greeting. And for them, it probably may have recalled, and perhaps for those first century readers and for us, Jesus' words to the disciples on that last evening he had with them at that Last Supper before his arrest, where he talks about his peace being given to them. Peace he is leaving with them, not as the world gives. The peace he gives is not as the world gives, and to not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. And the difference between the words in chapter 14 and the words here, that Jesus in chapter 14 was that faithful, threatened Holy One, threatened with arrest and death. And this Jesus is the faithful, holy, resurrected one. The peace is not offered by the world, is the peace that comes from the knowledge that in spite of all the hurt and the harm that the world can and does inflict, God's compassion and God's care embodied in Jesus stands again right there in their midst, the crucifixion notwithstanding. While Christians have for hundreds of years made the promise of peace from John 14 words of comfort at funerals and memorial services, Jesus' words here in chapter 20, "Peace be with you," to these frightened disciples make plain that this peace supplies courage at points other than the inevitable end of life. It applies at every point where we fear that God's goodwill for the world's well-being is a pious dream, out of touch with the chaos and the hatred of everyday life that we see, that we read about. And for the one who offers these words of peace is the very one who has endured that chaos, has endured that hatred, has endured torture and crucifixion, and yet now stands with them, among them, risen indeed. So this is the Jesus who is present for us, the resurrected one, the one who offers us this peace in whatever chaos you may be experiencing, in whatever uncertainty, in whatever fear, pain, confusion, anxiety you have. This is the Jesus who is present for us, who offers us peace. And this is a Jesus who unlocks doors, who will be present for us as he was for those in that room on that first Easter day, during times of doubt, during times of fear. John tells us in verses 21 and 22 that as Jesus said, "Peace be with you," he also went on to say, "As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And Jesus breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." There is so much happening here. I cannot imagine the scene in that room of frightened disciples, still devastated by the crucifixion, worried about the missing body from the empty tomb, locking themselves away, wondering what is going to happen to them, and then having Jesus appear to them, offering his peace, showing his hand, showing his side, commissioning them to go out and be his presence in the world, breathing on them and giving them the Holy Spirit to be with them in that commission. The energy in that room, the love in that room, the tears in that room, the power in that room. A beloved pastor and theologian, William Sloan Coffin, once said in an Easter sermon that Easter is about the victory of seemingly powerless love over loveless power. In the end, even the power of the Roman Empire could not withstand the force of the powerless love of God embodied in the person of Christ. God took on the identity of a vulnerable human being who emptied himself, taking on the form of a servant, enduring death, even that imaginably painful death on a cross. The power of powerless love rolled away that tomb. The power of powerless love raised Jesus from the dead. And now the risen Lord is out there, breathing creative power, giving the Holy Spirit. That risen Lord is here with us. And this is why we say Christ is risen, not Christ was risen. When we gather here in this community, our risen Lord is made known to us in the breaking of this bread. And when shadows fall and death is close at hand, our risen Lord is there, giving comfort through acts of human kindness and the reassurance of life everlasting. That peace will be of great comfort to the Crumb family today. He will be with us in the person of a stranger in need, as someone who is hungry and thirsty. He will be present through this congregation as you bring breakfast to strangers in the Little People's Park. He will be present as you begin to engage with Family Promise and learn how to be of support to homeless families. Jesus lives through us, and it is us out in the world that continue to proclaim that risen Lord. As we know from the book of Acts and the letters of Paul and others in the New Testament, the disciples did unlock the doors. They did leave that room. They responded to that call of their risen Lord to be sent. And as they did so, they surely recalled the power that took place in that room. In their doubt, in their fear, in their confusion, they were met by the power of God's love that conquers death and offers peace. And so on this Sunday, I invite you to join the disciples. Unlock the doors and go out, proclaim that Jesus lives today, the risen Lord who meets each of us in our own doubt, in our own confusion, the risen Lord who offers us peace. And so I pray that we may go from this place with Easter eyes to see him wherever he is, Easter hearts to welcome him, to receive that Holy Spirit, and Easter hands to go out and serve, Easter feet to go out and unlock the doors. Let us pray. Loving God, we give you thanks for the gift of your Son, who gave so much for us. We pray that we might see his risen self out there in the world, and pray that you might keep us always alert, always engaged, always open. Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit will give us that energy, give us that encouragement. May we feel that power every day. In the name of our Lord and Savior, amen.